A very good morning to you, listeners. Welcome to the Because He Lives program, sponsored by the Church of the Nazarene Baptist District. We do hope you had a good night's rest. Of course, as we often say, we also thank the management of Fellow Mortar Spears, who have jointly worked with us in sponsoring this program as well. We do trust that it would be beneficial to all those who are listening today. Well, today we want to conclude the series we started earlier as we focus on the temptations of Jesus Christ, the recorded temptations of Jesus Christ, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And we are going there today as well. We're going to read the first 11 verses from that chapter. However, before I do that, again, I want to thank you for tuning in and for the feedback that you give. We are here to connect with the listening public, and we know that as we would share on this program, we intend to touch lives, to rejuvenate persons who may feel a bit worn, and those perhaps who don't know God, that they will find Him. So I pray that as we share today, that you shall be blessed. However, before I proceed, I just want to take this opportunity to extend heartfelt condolences from the entire Nazarene family to Sister Marcina Arthur, wife of Reverend Hayden Arthur from Monk Hill. Sister Marcina would have lost her mom recently at a ripe old age of 105, I think it was. We want to thank God for her life and also extend a warm condolences, so to speak, to Sister Marcina and her family, even as they mourn and grieve the loss of their mom. May God bless them, even now. Well, turn with me again, as I said earlier, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're reading from verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, King James says, a wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Heavenly Father, we thank you, as always, for your wonderful word, which is life-changing. I pray today, as we would reflect on this message, on your word, that you will speak into our lives in a meaningful way. This is my prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen. Right, listeners, again, as I said, you remember last week, we focused on the second temptation. And the week before that, we focused on the first temptation. And today, we want to focus on the third recorded temptation, as is seen in Matthew's gospel. I read the entire for context and for, of course, for recollection. And so, the first temptation, Jesus was commanded by the devil to turn stones into bread. And you know what Jesus said, that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that is so fundamental. We think of bread, we think of our everyday needs and things that we generally would use in our everyday existence. Man does not live by that alone, but essentially man needs to be able to draw on the spiritual sustenance that is provided through the Word of God. And then we also zero in on the second temptation. The second temptation, then he was taken to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And then he challenged him. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. That's the one we focused on last week. Challenging Jesus to throw himself down. And surely, we recognize that Jesus' response was, thou shalt not test the Lord or tempt the Lord your God. And we today are focusing on the third temptation. That's where our focus is today, on the third temptation. And just to remind you, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. What did Jesus say? Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. All right, so the third temptation then, the devil is challenging Jesus to bow down and worship him. And of course, the trap was, the whole idea is, okay, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I'll provide you all the kingdoms of the world. And, you know, he is still enticing us to power. And but the whole idea that he wants to give us this and give us that. And, you know, as human beings, we like to possess things. We like to know we have that sway and that power. And Jesus is tempted in this realm. And it's funny enough, when we read in Matthew and Luke, when Luke 4, 5 to 7, when Satan said, I will give you all the authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. And in many ways, he's giving to Jesus, offering to give to Jesus what Jesus controls. He wanted the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to bow down to him. And he pretended that he had the power to give the vast kingdoms of the world to Jesus. In essence, he was probably suggesting, why suffer? Why go all the way to the cross? I can give you the kingdom now. Surely, Satan believes in shortcuts, doesn't he? And sometimes that's the problem, where we are challenged to take shortcuts for our own downfall. The way of the cross leads home. Jesus understood it was the way of the cross. That was the only way he could redeem man. That was his purpose. He came to redeem us. Jesus came to redeem us. And he was set on the mission. So here is Satan is saying to him, bow down and worship me, and I will give you the authority and splendor. Now, surely, Jesus' response was a masterful one. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So as we look back at the other two temptations, first one, Satan was appealing to humanity and appealing to flesh, to the flesh, as it were, in the whole idea of material things and temporal things, which we have indicated are fleeting. But he wants to make them attractive. We have to remember that they do not have eternal value. Material things are temporal. And although physical things are important and significant, the spiritual are more significant and life-changing. Indeed, they impact our eternity. And then the second temptation, when he told him to challenge him, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. He's wanting him to behave recklessly, using his power recklessly. He's challenging his identity. If you are the Son of God, if you say you are who you are, he's challenging his authority in challenging his power. So we don't have to remember, as I said before, we don't have to prove anything to Satan. We know who we are and whose we are. So in those first two temptations, he appealed to the flesh. He appealed to humanity. The trap of material things. And the second one, it was more appealing to pride. And the whole idea of having the celebrity spirit. Focusing on pride. And that celebrity spirit. Spirit of fame. But Jesus surely responded, you shall not test. Don't test or tempt the Lord your God. But in this final temptation, Satan is zeroing in on that very important area. And it still happens today in our walk with God. He is trying to undermine worship. Undermine worship. Fall down and worship me. Fall down and worship me. And worship is critical. Worship belongs to God. Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And this is critical. My dear friends, even as you listen to me at this time, and is that an area of concern for you? Are you a worshiper? Do you find time not only in your quiet times at home to commune with God and fellowship with God? You know, we can get so many things on our schedule daily that we are diverted. And the things that we do are quite legitimate. But we have to make time for personal worship and devotion as we connect with God. Finding quiet time. Yes, find that quiet time. Where we can connect with God and reflect on who he is and project and communicate. And constantly we consecrate ourselves and constantly allow the Holy Spirit to examine our lives. That we can come to get to a deeper level and a more intimate relationship with God. So worship is critical. And I think the enemy is in times like these, getting us busy, involved in all kinds of things. It's a diversion. We have to plan our time and make sure that as we plan our time, that when we prioritize our time, that God is part of our time. We prioritize eternal things that is critical and make sure they have priority. Prioritize eternal things and make sure they have a priority over temporal things. As someone says, don't sweat the small stuff. Don't manger in the minor, so to speak. God's kingdom is paramount. And we shall seek him first. That's what the word says, as we read earlier in Matthew 6, 33. Seek him first. So worship is critical. And I think that if the enemy can get us to tempt us, and how does it tempt us in this area? Prevent us, as I said, from finding that intimate time. Building as we get into worship, personal worship or corporate worship, we build a deeper level of relationship with God. And of course, in our corporate worship, we also build correspondingly a deeper level of relationship with those we fellowship with. So Satan is zeroing in on an area that's critical to our existence as Christians. And we must make worship a priority, worshiping God. And you know, sometimes the enemy, yes, he can get us worshiping God. And this is what I call a subtle temptation. The enemy can get us, we're talking about worship here, okay? And how it can be undermined. Ministry, for example, can end up being one of the main culprits, if you wish, to undermine worship and intimacy. Now, how so? You know, we can get involved in this fellowship, the other fellowship, 2, 3, and 4 fellowships that we're involved in. And the aim is to use our giftings. That's very fine. Use our giftings in the kingdom. But you know what can happen? So whether you are a worship leader, or whether you are a preacher, you're a teacher, teaching a Sunday school class, you are in the choir, you are involved in these different things. We can get so, I would say that we can get tricked or trapped in two ways. One, where we get overly involved in ministry, worship, in further comments, that we can, in many ways, lose the focus. And we get to the point where we are just operating on automation, but we're not spending time listening to God, spending time hearing from God, spending time prostrating ourselves before God. So we can get very busy. And that can be the temptation. Busyness in worship. Busyness in ministry. But to the point where we lose focus. So, yes, ministry is important. But ministry can undermine worship. When we end up, and sometimes persons end up focusing on what they do. They love what they do so much to the point where they love it more than God. You see where I'm coming from? Where they love it more than God, or they get to a point where they get very egotistic. Oh, I'm a beautiful singer. I'm a fantastic pastor. You see where I'm coming from? Yes, we evolve in ministry, but the devil, in a sly way, in a subtle way, swings the pendulum away from God. We have to worship God and serve him. So don't worship the ministry. You have great dreams and great visions to see how the ministry expand. But what is your motivation? it has to be a case where God is glorified and where our worship does not end up pointing at ourselves, tapping ourselves on our back, how good we sound, how good we are. This is what I call a subtle temptation. It can happen very easily in our church when it comes to worship. God must be the focus of my preaching. God must be the focus of my teaching. God must be the focus of my song leading or of my choir. God must be the focus of my small group activities. As people are blessed and strengthened, as we carry out discipleship, as we carry out the whole evangelism and so on, never get distracted that God is the focus. Worship Him. Because, as I said, subtly, the worship can be undermined when we end up ourselves congratulating ourselves. We end up in self-aggrandizement, and God does not get the glory. So worship is critical. So this is the area that Satan tries to undermine. That's what he did with Jesus. Bow down and worship me. So I want to challenge us to have a new look at worship. We worship God, not the ministry, not the pastor. We worship God. He is the focus. All roles point to God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. We worship. As we worship God, we affirm who He is. We strengthen and deepen our relationship. We affirm our relationship with Him. He's the great God. He's a supreme God. He's an awesome. He's an awesome God. We demonstrate that in our worship. We also, as we worship, not only we focus on affirmation, but conservation. Corporate worship. In corporate worship, God's people preserve and transmit faith as we use the word. That's what Jesus kept using in this temptation. The word of God became His anchor. In our worship, the word of God remains our anchor. We sustain that and make sure that's a legacy for those who come behind us. Worship is about edification. We gain increasing understanding of God and the truth He represents. And we are built up in spirit as a body. Worship is about celebration. Praise the Lord. We as believers celebrate our union with God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We celebrate our salvation. Then we celebrate our growth. We celebrate Jesus. We celebrate His birth. We celebrate His ministry, the life and ministry. In worship, we celebrate His death, His resurrection. We're in a period now where around the corner, we're gonna placing some focus on Good Friday and the resurrection. Worship is about celebrating His coming again as He reigns victoriously. So my dear friends, let us not yield to the temptation of undermining worship. Yield to the temptation of omitting worship, of being diverted. This is the enemy's ploy, especially in these days. Let us find time to worship Him. And finally, as I conclude, let's resist the devil and he will flee. James 4:7. And that is sure. That is for sure. It shows the devil thrives where there's least resistance. Give him room. Beware also of Satan, his trick, so to speak. He masquerades as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Do not be deceived. In the temptation we just, the last temptation focused on, he's proven to be a liar. He's giving Jesus what He already is. He's offering Him the kingdoms of the world. Satan is a deceiver. Let's not be deceived, but let us worship the Lord. Yes, and become well acquainted with what God's word says. But God's word is going to be the anchor as we fight back the forces of evil. Praise God. As we grow and mature, the word of God is going to be our guide. That's how we increasingly overcome temptations. So as I close, I just want to remind you, let us understand that temptation is a part of life. But remember that God has promised that wherever temptation occurs, he will provide a way of escape. Let's look for that way of escape, that we'll be able to stand and continue to worship him. Our worship be undermined, especially in these days. So may God bless you richly. And I hope even as we explore these temptations, the recorded temptations, that you gather some truth that will help you in your walk with Christ. Remembering Jesus overcame, we too can overcome with the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that we understand that temptations are part of life. The enemy is real. Give us the wisdom, the understanding. Give us sense of bravery, that we will stand up to the test. But help us, Lord, not to depend on our strength. Depend on your Holy Spirit. As we are tempted, may we realize that we can overcome to the power of the Holy Spirit. So bless your people and strengthen us today as we continue to walk with you. Walk in your precepts. Help us, Lord, to trust you and depend on you. This is our prayer, for Christ's sake. Listeners, may God bless you tremendously. And remember that we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. He is the one who protects and guides and covers and leads us. We don't have to fall prey to the enemy. God will help us to overcome. God bless you and continue to hold the banner high. Continue in your own domain and in your own church and your home and your family to represent God. And remember, as I said in this today's session, let us find time for worship. Personal devotion and worship, corporate worship. The Bible says to us, do not forsake the fellowshipping of the saints together. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future.